Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to the Comeback Radio Show with your host, Tony Farmer. Our show is all about what goes on behind the scenes in sports, music, acting, and celebrity lifestyles. You'll have the chance to interact with Tony and his guests, too. Now, get ready for the Comeback Radio Show. Here's Tony Farmer.
Good morning, everyone. Happy February 9th to you. I'm Tony Farmer, your host of the Comeback Radio Show. I'm excited for this week's show, as I am always, and I like to start off my show with food for thought. We're going to have a guest host today, Mr. Mark Ellis, co-founder of Fourth and Long. But I'd like to give a shout-out to all our listeners worldwide, Ohio, New York, California, my mom, everyone. But have a couple words of wisdom is, God gives out wisdom free. It's plain spoken and knowledge and understanding. He's a rich mine of common sense for those who live well, a personal bodyguard to the candid and sincere. He keeps his eyes on all who live honestly and pays special attention to his loyalty to committed ones. So that's very strong. I mean, I say myself amen to that because he's definitely has been an inspiration in my life, and I'm sure he has to have been all of you. And my thought for the day is a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. So with that being said, I'm excited for this week's show. We have a fitness expert, Emily Zahler, who's a nutritionist and author, was a former Division I collegiate soccer player. She'll be calling in and joining us. We'll also be having a young man by the name of DJ Young, an offensive tackle out of the Arizona Cardinals, who's had an amazing story as well. But I want to welcome this week my co-host, Mr. Mark Ellis. A little bit about Mark is he's from Los Angeles area, has been in the music industry, loves sports, is a co-founder of the public relations firm Fourth and Long. So I'd like to welcome Mr. Mark Ellis to our show. Mark, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much for having me. As Eddie Murphy said in Coming to America, I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you. So, I mean, Mark, you know, we've had a fantastic week in just the world and in sports. We've had ups, we've had downs. But one thing that kind of stuck out is, you know, the Giants, they're just one of those teams that just gets it done. I mean, they go in underdog, you know, Tom Coughlin, that people say he's too old, he's too rigid. And but obviously, Mark, what he's doing has been working, and they beat the Patriots once again in the Super Bowl. Give me your take on that, on what you saw in the game. I thought it was one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen. And I was in Vegas this weekend and, you know, had a couple meetings, had a chance to meet with you and Pilar about different things going on in the world and my world and everything. Tell me a little bit about that Giants win. How did that affect you? And you watched it, and what was your take on the game?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game. I mean, obviously, Eli Manning, you know, deserves all the credit in the world. You know, so many people in the past have been, you know, Eli, he's too calm. He just doesn't get it or whatever. But, I mean, in the fourth quarter, he just gets it done. And he's got it done twice against, you know, what some people say is one of the best quarterbacks in the history of football, Tom Brady. You know, he beat Belichick once again. And it was just like, you know, for me, you know, I grew up a Cowboys fan. I'm not even a Giants fan, but, you know, for me, I was just like the Giants, you know, it's their year. They got hot at the right time. You know, they got Ahmad Bradshaw back late from his foot injury, you know, even though he's still hurt, they got him back. And Victor Cruz, you know, just, I mean, wow, you know, over 1,500 yards set a Giants, you know, single season yards record. It was just, you know, it was just amazing, you know, and they did it against a great team. I mean, Patriots didn't have a great defense, but, you know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
Exactly. Now, with that being said, you know, there's always animosity, there's always adversity, there's always, you know, people getting upset at things that take place. But, you know, I read about Giselle's comments of her saying that Tom Brady did a great job and he's a great quarterback and his receivers can't catch the ball. Don't you think that's kind of a little bit overboard of having a wife make these kind of comments, especially publicly, and then look at all the banter and all the things that come with that? I'm sure the other players are looking at, like, this is his wife saying she didn't play it down, and I understand protecting your husband, but do you think that's just a little bit overboard?
Right. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, being a man, you never want to have your woman, you know, speaking for you, especially, you know, as a, you know, I'm sure as a professional athlete, you know, you want to basically, you know, let your play do the talking and, you know, just be responsible for that. And, you know, obviously it wasn't like she was talking to a newscaster, you know, somebody had her on a cell phone, you know, camera and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, did players not make plays at certain times? You know, that Wes Welker play, you know, it wasn't a great throw, but, you know, he had definitely had an opportunity to change the game. And in the Super Bowl, that's what, you know, big plays, you know, make stars, and they make, you know, Super Bowl champions. And, but yeah, just, you know, Giselle, and earlier the week before, what she had that, sent that email out, and everyone prayed for her husband, and yeah, it just, you know, and I feel bad for the guy, because, you know, people talk about him because he's a spokesman of Uggs, and then he's got his wife saying all this stuff. It's just like, hey, you know, just support your husband in a different way. And yeah, just the way she said it was, you know, it was very accusatory on everybody else. And, you know, it's a team sport. I mean, football's the biggest team sport, so.
Exactly. I think really it probably has to boil down to with who she is. You know, maybe if it was a player who wasn't on that high of a pedestal as Tom Brady is, and people, you know, didn't really know him as much, it might have been looked at it different. But, I mean, it is what it is. The Giants, I give much kudos to them. They've actually, you know, won the game and, you know, won the Super Bowl champions again, have their parade and things like that. But, you know, even leading up to the Super Bowl, all the hype, I mean, Madonna was amazing at 53. And let me tell you, look at her performance and what she does. I mean, forget to the part where, you know, the rapper MIA did what she did, but, you know, Madonna at 53, I was looking at the tweets and the Facebook updates and the meet of all these women saying Madonna's doing at 53. What I'm looking at with that, and we can talk to Emily more about that when she comes on, is, you know, it's not about her age, or it's about, you know, how she takes care of herself, how she's made adjustments into her life with the yoga, things like that. Wasn't her performance just impressionable?
Oh, she was awesome. I mean, when it came to Madonna, when I first heard the news of Madonna, I was like, okay, Madonna, really? You know, again, you know, some, you know, an old act, because, you know, it's been The Who, The Rolling Stones. And I was sitting here, you know, at home watching, and I was like, wow, like, Madonna's killing it. Then she brought in, you know, LMFAO, you know, CeeLo came out, you know, Nicki Minaj, MIA, and it was just a great, I mean, you know, I was sitting here going like, wow, this is probably one of the best Super Bowl halftime performances I've seen in a long time. Like, now I'm like, okay, who's the NFL going to get for next year? But yeah, Madonna, you know, she's iconic. I mean, she's been basically ever since she came out, you know, in the 80s. And yeah, she was just great. And especially at 53, I mean, I didn't even see the tweet because I was too busy just watching.
Right. And I was really impressed. So, you know, that was definitely a good performance. But even leading up to the Super Bowl, I can say one, I don't know what you feel being a sports fan and being a person in the sports field as well, but I was really, really disappointed with the Pro Bowl. I seriously thought I was watching the Xbox game and telling my friend what button not to push. These guys are going about 20 miles an hour, about 40%. I understand guys don't want to get hurt, but when you look at it from a fan's perspective, these people pay their money to see the best athletes in the world give their best performance. Because the one thing I know for sure, being there, you know, more than once, is at the All-Star game of the NBA, you and I both know they are going full speed to win.
Right.
The All-Star game in Major League Baseball, they're trying to win because it dictates, you know, home field advantage. What did you think of the Super Bowl? I mean, the Pro Bowl, excuse me. Am I way off? Am I on it? What did you feel about the Pro Bowl?
I mean, you're really not way off. I mean, to be honest, being such a huge sports fan that I am, this was actually the first Pro Bowl that I missed. You know, I saw the highlights. I saw a lot of the talk, I heard, you know, fans booing. I mean, I don't know, just the NFL, unfortunately, you know, it's a collision sport, and guys get hurt. They get hurt all the time. And, you know, at the end of the season, do these guys really want to go out, you know, for, I don't know, what would they get, a $25,000, $50,000 check, you know, for the winning team?
Something like that.
Do they really want to go out and kill themselves to get injured? And it's just like I feel bad for the fans because, you know, they want to see the top players, but at the same time, the game is not conducive to have a competitive game because nobody really wants to be there except for being in Hawaii and bringing friends
exactly.
and family and kids. And I mean, other than that, you know, do these guys even want to be there these days? You know, because some of these guys, they miss the Super Bowl, and they're just like, okay, hey, I didn't go to the Super Bowl. I got a lingering finger injury, and they sit out. But they still get their bonus in their contract. But yeah, just I mean, to be honest, I didn't even tune in. It's just not that much of a, it's just not that much of a big event anymore. It really isn't.
Exactly. Well, I mean, with that being said, we take the game for what it's worth. But I can tell you, looking as a person like myself who wasn't drafted to the NBA, made it the hard way, I am so excited about this kid, Jeremy Lin's story. Mark, it just makes me smile. And I was reading something on Yahoo this morning about, you know, him coming from Harvard. And I know he got to Golden State, got sent down to the D League and come back up. This kid in three games is really, really taking the NBA by storm. And I'm not saying it lightly. I'm not exaggerating. But I watched him cross over last night on John Wall. Went to the basket, got a dunk.
I saw that one.
It's almost like a Yao Ming sensation. What has been your take on this kid? He's pretty much saving the Knicks and saving New York right now, and I don't think I'm going on a limb to say that's far-fetched, but he is really turning things around for this New York team, and he's making a name for himself even bigger than anyone can imagine. And he's so humble. He's a Christian young man. He's very humble in his surroundings. What is your take on this young man's performance right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, everyone's talking about that Lin sanity. And, you know, and he's not your typical, you know, obviously, for one, you know, he's an, you know, Chinese-American kid, which he's the first in, you know, first Chinese-American in the NBA. And it's just, you know, he doesn't have that typical, I guess you could say, look of a point guard. But when he goes out there, yeah, that crossover he did on John Wall was just a great take. And, you know, I mean, what was his first start? 28 and 8, you know, 28 mm-hmm. points, 8 assists, and that was the
correct.
That was the highest point and assist total since Isaiah Thomas did that 30 years ago. He had like 31 and 11. And the
right.
guy just,
correct.
You know, what were they, 11 and 12, I think, or 11 losses out of 12 games, and now they're what, 3-for-3 in his last three starts? And he's dropping,
right.
you know, roughly about 25 and 8. You know, and he doesn't even have Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire right now. So once they get into the fold, hopefully they can just, you know, have a great, you know, dynamics. And, you know, with D'Antoni, you know, his fast break style, I mean, the kid's conducive. I mean, you know, he had what? I think he had 10 assists and 2 turnovers last night.
Exactly.
And he's really balling.
And what's even amazing, what I'm sure our listeners don't know, is you know where he lives, Mark? He lives with his brother, who's a dental student, and sleeps on his couch because his contract
really?
Doesn't become guaranteed until Tuesday. And his contract is worth about $800,000, but right now he sleeps on, you know, his brother's couch. He's happy. He's with his brother. So that lets you know that he's not caught up in the glitz and glamour. And I'm sure there's probably thousands of New York area apartments just saying, hey, Jeremy, come live here. Come do things with, you know, come do things with us. And so, you know, with that being said, this man has an amazing story, and I really hope he just continues it for the rest of the year because it goes to show you that perseverance, you can achieve your goals if you really work hard at it. So, I mean, you know, with that being said, it's just good to see these positive stories. So, you know, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk about a few more things in this game of life and in sports. And then we're going to have Emily Zeller calling in after that. So we'll be back in 2 minutes, everybody. Welcome to the Comeback Show. We'll see you in 2 minutes, and get ready for Emily and the rest of our guests.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. when it comes to youth and high school football. Listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com, your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. What's the national pastime in the U.S. in the 21st century?
Are you sure? Think again.
3 out of 4 Americans have made NFL football the true American pastime. It's now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. But how do we as fans understand everything that goes on behind the scenes? Tune in to Enter the League with Eugene T. Lee Esquire as your host. Eugene was the featured NFL agent in the ESPN acclaimed documentary The Dotted Line. And now he takes his expertise to the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You could also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Tony Farmer, your host of the Comeback Radio Show, along with Mark Ellis, co-founder of Fourth and Long, as a co-host. And we've been so excited about this show and talked a lot about sports. And we have our first guest waiting in to tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Emily Zahler. She's a certified personal trainer, sports nutritionist, fitness model, author of the Easy Way Cookbook, magazine columnist, personal chef, you name it, she's done it. So she went to Arizona State University where she got her Bachelor of Science degree in exercise and wellness, and former Division I collegiate soccer player, so she's an athlete by default. And she's done a lot in her career. She lives out here in Los Angeles, California, and I've had a chance to connect with her on many things, and we're so excited to have her on the show. So we want to welcome Emily Zahler to our show. Emily, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. So, you know, with you being a former Division I college soccer player, as I said, at Arizona State, you got your break at Athletes Performance in Scottsdale, where you train professional athletes, NBA, NHL, NFL, Major League Baseball. So with that summer that you spent training, where did that take you today?
My time spent at Athletes Performance really led me to everything that I'm doing right now, because it was then, after, you know, I couldn't play soccer anymore, that I realized I wanted to be on the other side, you know, helping athletes and everyday people improve their fitness, performance, whatever it is that they may be training for, just improve their overall health and quality of life.
Awesome. I mean, and the thing that you've transitioned to is, you know, you have a love for cooking and fitness, and it inspired you to create, you know, this recipe book called The Easy Way. Tell us how that came about and where it's at today. How did you come up with that idea? I understand, you know, Easy Way is basically easy as your initials of your name, but how did that come about? Because at first, I understand it was just a cookbook for fun.
Right. It actually started, again, it relates back to Athletes Performance. So one of my mentors at Athletes Performance was like, you know, Emily, you know, you love fitness, you have a great work ethic, why don't you do a fitness competition? And he kind of put that challenge out there for me, and I accepted it, and that's how the whole thing really started, because when you're competing, you know, the diets are so restrictive, and I just started thinking, you know, how can I get creative with this and still be eating and hitting a certain nutritional macronutrients I'm supposed to eat, but, you know, add some variety into it. So that's how it started, and then I would make up recipes and share them online on different fitness sites, and the feedback I got was ridiculous. You know, everyone, a lot of people in the fitness industry responded to it. I got a huge response, and they encouraged me to put together the book. So that's how it started. It was originally just for fun to help me get ready for the show, and, you know, I wanted to help other competitors as well, you know, not feel like they're, and then not only competitors, just anyone that's trying to live a healthy lifestyle, not feel that they're so restricted to only eating a certain number of foods.
Exactly. I mean, and from what I've read and what I've seen also, too, you're a personal trainer, so how does that work daily with you with your personal training? I mean, do you have clients that are private clients? You train teams. What do you do on a daily basis from your personal training aspect of your business?
From my personal training aspect of my business, I have personal clients of mine. I can also do some small group training as well, and I either train people, you know, I can do in-home training and come into your home and completely private, or I train out of a gym in Santa Monica that I brand to, or most of my clients do.
Awesome. And I also read that you're a personal chef. Tell our listeners what a typical day is like for an athlete with you being a personal chef. What do you do for them? I know when I played for my 16 years, I've never had, you know, a personal chef, and my diet wasn't always the best. I'm probably eating better now, not playing professionally anymore than any other day or any other time when I played. So what is it like for a personal chef? Like, what do you do for these athletes as a personal chef?
So basically what I do with an athlete, I also have some clients in acting as well, people that just want to, you know, hit a certain body composition goal or for performance reasons. I first of all sit down with the client and analyze, you know, what their goals are and what they need exactly as far as, you know, protein, carbs, fat in every meal, their likes and dislikes. So I really make it custom to the client. And from that point, you know, we discuss how many meals a day I'm going to be making for them. And then I create the meals based on their likes and based on their nutritional needs, so that it takes all the work out of the equation for them. They don't have to worry about what they're eating or cook or grocery shop. I take care of all that and then deliver it to them ready to go. Or I can also make it fresh in someone's home if they prefer that.
Awesome. We have a caller on the line right now. Pilar is calling in from Las Vegas. She says she has a question for Emily. So, Pilar, welcome to our show, and I understand you have a question for our guest, Emily.
Yes, I do, and thank you for having me. I have a fitness question. I know that diet is important. However, there are so many videos out there right now, the PS90X, Insanity. For an individual, especially a woman, there are troublesome spots, like, you know, if you want to get that washboard abs or you want to tone your thighs, legs, and whatnot, and get those shapely legs. If I were to ask you, being a personal trainer, having competed in fitness competitions, compared to these videos, what would you suggest for an individual who really wanted to get maximum results, but then also an impatient individual like myself, quickly? Would you suggest these videos, or would you suggest maybe getting into the gym and hiring a personal trainer?
You know, honestly, I think the videos like P90X and all those types of things are mostly just straight marketing. And the best results are going to come from, number one, nutrition, being consistent with what you're eating, eating the right foods. Nutrition is number one. You can't out-train a bad diet. So getting your nutrition right first is the number one key. And then secondly, I would say hitting the gym with either a personal trainer or a program that is customized for you, and not being afraid to weight train. You know, women have this this thing in their head that, you know, if you lift weights, you're going to get bulky and all that, which is not accurate. And you know, women don't have that testosterone level in their body where they can bulk. So using weights and weight training is going to give you way better results than only doing cardio, which many women are afraid of lifting.
Okay, thanks.
So thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Pilar. Well, I mean, with that being said, Emily, tell our listeners, including myself and Mark and Pilar and everybody else, the Easy Way Cookbook. What is the Easy Way Cookbook about? I mean, I remember you telling me it's based off of cooking with a lot of whey protein. I've never even heard of it until, you know, I talked to you about it. So I'm curious myself. I'm sure Mark is as well. Tell us a little bit more, elaborate a little bit more on the Easy Way cooking with the whey protein. Because I look at some of the pictures of the recipes and stuff like that, and I almost want to snatch the pictures and eat them because I'm trying to, you know, do away with sweets myself. So elaborate a little bit more on the whey protein cooking style.
Okay. The Easy Way Cookbook is the recipe book that I put together after I received all that feedback of the recipes I was posting online. And I like to call the recipes clean eats that taste like cheats because I've created recipes for things like pancakes, cupcakes, cookies, ice cream, all sorts of your favorite foods that you think you shouldn't or can't be eating when maintaining a healthy lifestyle. And figured out ways that you can eat them and you can enjoy them. And so I actually use whey protein, and I use a company called About Time. They're the official protein of the Easy Way. And the reason I use their protein is because it's all natural. There's no artificial ingredients. There's no artificial sweeteners. And it comes in amazing flavors that are perfect for the recipes. So I use the About Time protein in the recipe to increase the protein content and just develop these foods that, you know, you feel like you shouldn't be eating, but you can completely. And, you know, since I've written the book, you know, it's been featured in the LA Times, Oxygen Magazine, Muscle and Fitness, Stack Media, all over the internet, pretty much every major fitness or health and sports publication. So it's really starting to spread. So I'm very excited about that.
That's great. So tell me, what are some of the projects that you're working on today, Emily? What's going on today in your world? What projects you have going on? I don't know if you have another edition of the cookbook. I noticed that you just did the LA Fitness Show Expo here in LA. What's going on with you today?
Yeah, right now I just did the LA Fit Expo. I had a booth with a team of some people helping me out, and then About Time, the protein company, came out for that as well. I also have my iPhone app that I just released for iPhone as well as Android. If you just look up Easy Way. So still working on getting another edition of that out. Always working on new recipes for potential, you know, volume 2. Writing for a bunch of different magazines and features. I have a ton of stuff going on, some stuff I can't really talk about yet.
Sure, but definitely.
Very exciting stuff. 2012 in the works.
Well, that's good. Tell me this. You know, everybody has their New Year's resolution. They want to eat better. They want to have fitness goals. Every time you come into a new year, everybody has that. What would you say for today's men and women as they set these goals for the new year? What is the most important part of getting fit and working out and trying to look better? What would you say are the most important components?
I'd say the number one component is consistency. And that's the thing with New Year's resolutions. I'm not a huge fan of them because it needs to be a lifestyle, not something that's going to last 1 or 2 months, you know, and you get burned out. It needs to be something that can integrate throughout your life and just make it your lifestyle and be consistent. Because if you're not consistent, you know, you're not going to get the results you're wanting. It needs to be day in, day out. Consistency that's going to get you there with both nutrition and your workouts.
Awesome. Now, how can people find out more about what you're doing? Where can they buy this cookbook and keep up with what Emily Zahler's doing on a daily basis with the recipes, where they can purchase it, things like that for listeners? Where can they go to just basically be involved in your world and get your products and services?
Right now, you can buy my book from my website, emilyzahler.com or theeasyway.com. You can buy it on the site, and then to stay up to date with me, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/ezaylor, and facebook.com/ezaylor.
Okay, awesome. Now, with that being said, you know, I also look at things like, you know, myself playing basketball, you being an athlete. For our listeners, how often do you work out yourself?
I work out 6 days a week. I still, you know, I'm an athlete still. I love challenging myself. I'm not competing in fitness competitions currently. I'm more focused on mainstream fitness and growing my business, but I definitely still train hard, you know, love challenging myself with my own workouts.
Awesome, because I know myself, when I sat there and ran the Santa Monica stairs, I ran it twice, and I seriously had to take a picture with a Facebook update because I had never really ran it before, and that's pretty quite challenging as a workout. So I can see how you're doing different things, and you're growing, and your brand is growing, and I'm excited to see, you know, further things from you and to see you keep growing as an entrepreneur and as a lady in fitness and all that. So we have one caller in, Max, that might have a question for Emily for us, so we'll listen to him before we go to break. Max, are you here with us?
Yes. My question for Emily was, I'm trying to get my mother to be more active and to eat a little bit healthier. She's an older lady. Is the Easy Way Cookbook something that you suggest for women of all ages? And are there some certain recipes that you suggest? I know that you said that all the recipes taste like cheats, but something that I could that you would suggest that I could push for her to get the book.
Absolutely. The cookbook is definitely all ages, whether that ranges from people having kids, you know, wanting their kids to eat healthier snacks, all the way to people your mom's age, and really anyone. The recipes are all extremely easy to make. Besides being my initials easy, the recipes are also easy to make. So there's kind of a double pun in the title there. But pretty much, you know, whatever her preferences are, there's desserts, there's breakfast, there's entrees, there's all sorts of different ways for your mom and other people, you know, to just change up their diet and eat healthy and still enjoy the food that they're eating.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think I'm going to get the book for my mom as a selfish gift for me.
There you go. That'd be good, Matt. You can sit there and go to EZ with the letters WHEY.com and get yourself a copy, because I'm going to get myself a copy too, and I definitely appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank, you know, Emily for being on our show. Emily and myself and Mark like to thank you for being on the show, and you've got quite an inspirational story for both men and women. As you see, we have Pilar call in, we've had Max call in, and we definitely wish you all the best in your future endeavors, and thank you for coming on the Comeback Show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay, no problem. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to our commercial break right now. When we come back, we'll have DJ Young, a offensive tackle for the Arizona Cardinals, back with us. We'll see you in a few.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
If you're looking for a radio show about boxing, you usually can't find one until you stop by the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in to Outside the Ring with former world lightweight champion and U.S. Olympian David Diaz. We'll deliver the knockout punches with our guests as we go inside the minds of today's top fighters. We'll throw in discussion of other sports as well from time to time. Outside the Ring with David Diaz airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steele, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steele Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You could also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Tony Farmer along with my guest co-host Mark Ellison. I want to thank Emily again for being on our show, and Alara for calling in, and Max for calling in. As you know, she has a great story, a great brand building, and it's all the healthy way. And we all want to look, you know, look better, feel better. And you know, my motto in 2012 is transforming myself, mind, body, and soul. And my nutrition and my workout is something that's really important to me. So, Mark, how did you like what Emily had to say, and how do you think you can make that applicable to your own life?
Oh, it was good. Actually, you know, when it comes to fitness, you know, I've been definitely slacking a little bit because, you know, I got a little pinched nerve in my back and whatnot. But, you know, just the whole, you know, I forget the quote that she said, you can't out-train bad nutrition, you know. Right. And, you know, for guys, a lot of times, you know, we don't like to necessarily eat so healthy because, you know, you're a guy, you're like, okay, I just go to the gym, I'll knock it out, you know, I'll shed the pounds and whatnot. But as you get older, that gets just so much more difficult. So, you know, I actually saw, you know, some of the things on the cookbook, like, you know, pumpkin pancakes and, you know, French toast. And I'm like, you know, it's infused with like 40 grams of protein. And I'm like, okay, you know, I got to get in, you know, definitely got to get back in the gym. And, you know, it's inspiring to see somebody, you know, basically just show you the way, no pun intended. But, yeah, just, you know, to eating better. It's definitely important.
Exactly, and it's amazing how, you know, you have a fitness expert, nutritionist, personal chef like her, sit there and say, saying that nutrition goes so much more further than just the working out itself. And I definitely believe that's true because, you know, when you're an athlete and you're at a high performance level, you feel like you're almost invincible. And then when they tell you that, hey, you need to change this, you need to change that, you're like, wow, I thought I was doing good, and what I've been doing for a long time has been working. Then you listen to somebody like Emily, you know, tell us something totally different. It just makes all the sense in the world. So, you know, that excited me to hear her story. I'm definitely going to look to continue to improve my diet and my nutrition and my fitness. But, you know, when I came in to my office this morning, I was just, like, reading different things that I do every day. One of the most interesting things that I read this morning, Mark, was they said the most disliked athletes. Who do you think is the number one most disliked athlete, if you were just to guess?
To guess, just from what, you know, the public talks about most of the time, I would either say right now, either, you know, both polarizing guys, either LeBron James or Tim Tebow. I know they're not the number one, but that's what I would think. You know, just listening to everything on ESPN and whatnot.
Let me tell you what I've read this morning as the six most disliked athletes: Michael Vick, Tiger Woods, Plaxico Burgess, Namadong Su from Detroit, Chris Humphreys, and LeBron James. Now, the thing that gets me, Mark, about disliked athletes, I understand what Michael Vick did, it was not right. I understand what Tiger Woods did was not right. Plaxico Burris carrying a gun, you know, Sue was stepping on quarterbacks, Chris Humphreys from his well-documented marriage to Kim Kardashian, LeBron James for how he made his decision. But my question to you is this. People in life always make bad decisions. Bill Clinton has made bad decisions, Michael Jackson, everybody has made bad decisions, but it's always scrutinized when an athlete or a celebrity makes a decision because it's in the public eye. Do you think that's fair that they go to to that much scrutiny, and is it fair to put them on a higher standard level compared to somebody every day?
I don't necessarily think it's fair to put them on a higher standard. I mean, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're just all human beings. Unfortunately, though, you know, through social media, through, you know, mass media, I mean, these people are always in the spotlight, you know, and, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, these guys don't have a private life, you know, so once something gets out, you know, Tiger Woods had an affair, or, you know, Chris Humphries has his marriage, you know, 71 days packed into, you know, 4 episodes, you know, with Kim Kardashian. It's like, that's just the perception that people get. And, you know, at the end of the day, perception is everything. And when people perceive somebody as being the bad guy or a villain, it just kind of sticks with them.
Exactly. I mean, you look at the Kobe Bryant and, you know, like you said, the Michael Vicks and stuff like that. And, you know, Kobe was ever to build his image back up with Nike and get his endorsements back and things like that. But once again now, because of the infidelity accusations, him and Vanessa are getting divorced, he's like back in the negative spotlight.
Right.
You see what I mean about how this pattern just develops, and you look at these websites like TMZ and Media Takeout and all this, and these athletes are scrutinized, these celebrities are scrutinized, but my thing is, being a person that has been in that arena and that network the whole time, and, you know, things I discuss with people is, you know, it's all about your daily walk in life. You know, who's your centerpiece? If God's your centerpiece, you know, he kind of helps you diffuse all that. And one thing that, you know, the reason why I started this show and have the reality show is because of the fact I wanted people to see that it's not all glitz and glamorous. There's issues
Absolutely.
That everybody else has. Deion Sanders have them. Don't you think in reality, as opposed to just bantering about the negative, look at the positive things that they're doing and the fact that they've achieved their success for their hard work and their perseverance?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that, you know, that we try to do, you know, with Fourth and Long, you know, doing PR is, you know, it's not always about, you know, the interviews and the stats and whatnot. A lot of it, you know, is about, you know, the human being. And, you know, a lot of people, they really don't see the human being. All they see is the stuff that they see on TV. They see the money. They see the fame. And that's all they really, you know, nobody really gives them accolades for that unless they're winning. But,
exactly.
You know, even, you know, when it comes to, getting into their personal lives, I just think, you know, a lot of people just need better hobbies, you know, because it's
exactly.
Like, you know, you can't really, I mean, Chris Humphries, he's number 5 hated. I mean, why? Because his relationship didn't work out with Kim Kardashian. I mean, you know, he wasn't exactly, you know, Mr. Enthusiastic about the marriage, I guess, because I actually watched the show. And
right.
It's like, why is he hated for that? You know, he
exactly.
had a marriage that didn't work out.
Exactly. I mean, you know, with that being said, you know, Fourth and Long, let's talk a little bit about Fourth and Long.
Okay.
You're a co-founder, you know, of that company. You and Pilar started that company. I want to ask you a couple questions. You know, once we finish with DJ about that, with the PR, but, you know, at this point in time, DJ Young is waiting up on the line for us. So just to tell you a little
okay.
bit about him, Mark, why don't you tell our listeners about DJ Young when we come back from this commercial break? Well, we're going to talk about DJ, but I want you to tell the listeners how his story came about, what he's doing, and, you know, get a chance to ask questions to this young man. He has quite a story from what you're telling me, from what I've read. So when we come back from this commercial break, listeners, I want you guys to get prepared to hear this man's amazing story, practice squad player, activated. So when we come back from commercial break, we're going to talk to Mr. DJ Young and also talk to Mark Ellis about Fourth and Long, the company that him and Pilar has started. So we're going to take this commercial break. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes to finish up the last segment of The Comeback Show with Tony Farmer. We'll see you in 2 minutes, everybody.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tony Farmer along with Mark Ellis, and we're excited to have our next guest on the show. Mark, I'm going to give you the pleasure of introducing you to Mr. Have you introduce our listeners to Mr. DJ Young. Tell us about where this young man come from, how he made his mark into the NFL, and where he's at today.
Okay, DJ Young, offensive tackle, could play left tackle, right tackle for the Arizona Cardinals. Originally from Michigan, first university was Bowling Green, where he played defense, and then transferred to his dream school. After his sophomore year to Michigan State, played right tackle in his junior year, then switched over to the left side, was undrafted in last year's draft, you know, during the lockout, and subsequently signed to Arizona, where he was on the practice squad for most of the year until the final week, where he finally became a full-fledged 53-man roster member of the Arizona Cardinals. So just wanted to say, DJ, welcome to the show.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on here.
Okay, how's everything? I know right now you're in East Lansing finishing up, what is it, your final two classes?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Two, then I got to finish up an independent study
over
the summer, so I'll officially be done and get my sociology degree.
Okay, perfect. Congratulations. So
yeah.
I just wanted to say, so you spent nearly the entire 2011 season with the Cardinals on the practice squad. So describe how you felt when you received the news that you would be moved up to the active roster.
Oh, you know, that whole process was very heartwarming. You know, actually going undrafted and even making the practice squad in a year like it was, you know, it does say a little bit about, like, what they think of me and the type of work that I did put in, because a year like that with no OTAs or mini camps, we only had a split time frame to show what we have in those matter of practices, because guys were getting cut like crazy. You know,
right.
just to grind it out and be there for the whole season, you know, it's truly a blessing.
And
it's truly a blessing.
And being undrafted, you had pretty much a choice of where you wanted to go. Now, what made Arizona the destination that you chose over some of the other opportunities that you had?
What made Arizona a top priority since the lockout was in, you know, that's 3 months of not doing nothing. But, you know, I was pretty serious about, as soon as the lockout lifted, where I wanted to go. I made a chart to see of every team that didn't draft an offensive tackle.
Okay.
So Arizona didn't draft any offensive tackle since 2008. So then the last guy they drafted was happened to be my close buddy, Brandon Keith, who played right tackle this past year, but had to deal with some injury problems. So yeah, that was the last guy that they drafted since 2008. I knew if Arizona called that I wanted to go there for sure to compete for a spot.
Okay, and now with that being said, what's like the offensive line situation looking like for Arizona in 2012? Like I know I've read numerous articles that Levi Brown is going to be gone, and possibly, you know, some of the other free agents along with Brandon Keith. you know, like, where do you see yourself next season contributing to the team? Like, I know that I've even seen that, you know, they might possibly draft a tackle in the first round. Like, what has the team said to you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's everything is up in the air. You know, it's a lot of speculations. You know, especially with Levi Brown, he's due a pretty hefty contract for this season coming up. But you know, he's been a Cardinal. You know, I'm pretty sure he wants to come back. This is where he started off in everything. His foundation is in Arizona, so we'll see how that goes. I'm sure he doesn't want to go anywhere. But you know, the business aspect, you know, not everybody's going to get what they want. So you gotta work with the punches. And, you know, there's another guy, D'Anthony Batiste. You know, he's a free agent this year, along with Brandon Keith. So that only leaves me and Jeremy Bridges as the players under contract right now. So we'll see how that goes. So it's just two for right now. And when March rolls around, we'll get more of a clear picture of what's going to be happening.
Right. So do you see yourself competing for a starting job, or, you know, at least, you know, solid playing time?
Oh yeah, you know, it's always going to start off with just competing for playing time. You know, that's the first thing. You know, this guy got to get on the 53-man roster for sure. You know, not another year on the practice squad.
Right.
For this past year, so I mean, the practice squad was good. In a year like that, the practice squad is okay to be on with a year like that, but since it's going to be continued, since we're going to have OTA, since we're going to have mini camps now, that gives more of a chance to show the coaches what we do have or what we can bring to the table. And, you know, we're competing for a starting spot.
Right. And I got to know, like, speaking of that final week, you know, being activated to the active roster, I'm sure you were just extremely happy. But what I want to know is, like, what was it like when you received that first, like, big boy check? Like, were you just, like, in awe? Like, what were your feeling when you were like, oh, my God, look at all these zeros? Like, what was that about?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, y'all see some of it when we were out in Vegas. Y'all see some of it. But, you know, it was very heartwarming. You know, it's truly a blessing. You know, it's for what I worked for the whole season and offseason and overcoming all those obstacles of just complete BS that shouldn't have happened.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, stuff happens in overcoming adversity is how your story is, how you're going to overcome that. I think I overcame it pretty good, and I just want to keep on going with it.
Okay. And speaking of Vegas, since you brought it up, we got to hang out right after the season. You know, you were hanging out here with, you know, your whole Arizona Cardinal offensive line, and right. I was privileged enough to, you know, witness some of the quote-unquote rookie hazing. And what I wanted to ask you was, like, what was one of your most memorable experiences that you had during this process? as far as your hazing, like, what was the most memorable, or what was, like, the worst thing that they actually made you do?
It wasn't necessarily hazing. It was more so, I said the hazing part came in when it was time to pick up the bill. I never seen so many numbers for a restaurant bill in my life, and I never gave out a generous tip as I did. So, but being out in Vegas, you know, I had the opportunity to, as you could say, make it back.
Right.
Using my talents on the table. But, you know, it was a very fun experience, and I wouldn't take it away from the world, but I get to have the opportunity to do that next year, whoever we bring in, you know.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, and I wanted to talk about something a little more serious. Like, I know you have a daughter, Naya, you know, which you have full custody of, which I absolutely commend you on. And, like, now that you're fulfilling your dream, like, can you just put everything into perspective for us? Like, from transferring to, you know, from Bowling Green to walking on at Michigan State to not being drafted. And, you know, like, when you look at your daughter, like, how does that make you feel? Like, describe the whole process of that to where you are now, along with being a parent. Like, how does, you know, just describe how that makes you feel.
Oh, yeah. Just having her, it basically motivates me and is my driving force, you know. as far as, like, you know, transferring from Bowling Green to Michigan State, you know, dealing with a lot of doubters, you know, doubters and haters. They're just going to be around. And the fact that proving those people wrong is, you know, it says a lot about me and what I need to overcome. But it's going to Michigan State as a walk-on and competing for a starting spot, it says a lot at the Big Ten level, you know, and getting all conference honors and everything like that. Just proving a lot of people wrong. And then I believe it's the same cycle now, going undrafted to the NFL. I had a long road at Michigan State trying to get a scholarship. Now I have a long road ahead of me. Like, my road it's not finished yet. But I have to continue working, continue progressing and perfecting my game so I can do what I did at Michigan State and just be the player I am today.
Hey, DJ, this is Tony. One final question before we close out here. What advice would you give to athletes today walking on scholarship, trying to achieve their goal? Tell me something in a short sense, what advice you would give an athlete today trying to achieve their goals.
Oh, yeah, just trying to achieve your goal. I've built a lot of my reputation off negativity. I like to do a little bit of research. I like to see the negative aspect. I like to see what people have negative to say about me, and I'll somewhat like put it in a folder, put it in a book, or even take it with me to the weight room. Like, this is what they said about me. This is what this, and I highlight it as well with that. So, like, I just keep on reading it and, like, oh, this is what they think about me. Okay, so this is what I need to work on. Apparently, I want to perfect. I want to be the most perfected football player there is. But, you know, that's impossible to do. But, you know, just work on your weaknesses and just keep on grinding out and keep grinding out. And all those negatives will eventually be positives.
Well, that's good. Well, DJ, I'd definitely like to thank you for coming on our show, Mark and myself. And we'll definitely be following you and look forward to seeing big and better things for you. I mean, I follow you on Twitter now, so I see the things that you're doing. I wish you all the best, young man, for next season.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
No worries. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to, you know, thank everyone for listening to our show. And I always look to end my week with a positive statement. And the thought I have for you for the week, it says, a man must be big enough to admit his mistakes, smart enough to profit from them, and strong enough to correct them. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a great show this week. Mark, I'd like to thank you. And if you have any parting words for our listeners before we close, feel free to have it right now.
I'm just excited to actually just knock out. You know, this is the first time I've ever done a radio show or whatever. And, you know, it was a pleasure to do it with you, to have DJ on here. Emily as well. It was just exciting for me, so I hope to do it again.
Good. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want you guys to have a fantastic Thursday, an amazing weekend. Rest in peace, Mr. Don Cornelius, and he says love, peace, and soul. Keep smiling, everyone, because it's free. Happiness is a choice. Unhappiness is a disease. Don't be afflicted with that disease. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on The Comeback Show. So long, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to The Comeback Radio Show. Please join Tony Farmer again next Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. See you then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.